I am a double LMC. I've been an MC cross-platform for 20 years. Music scene, drum and bass, garage, dubstep, hip-hop. I'm also a combat sports MC, boxing, MMA, all different combat sports. For the last 20 years, I've been an avid researcher of the alternative history of the world, and every different aspect in that spectrum. Since lockdown, I have been energized to create a YouTube channel and pump out content that is basically designed specifically to de-indoctrinate people, primarily from what I call the COVID-1984 operation. And that's sort of what has got me my current my wave of notoriety that I seem to be riding at the moment, or surfing.
Yeah, that's the synopsis, you predicted, didn't you? You spoke to us a few weeks ago, Lance.
So it goes, you were talking about Halloween, saying that
you predicted something, you know, was going to happen on Halloween. And as it happens, actually, as Boris Johnson was speaking, so the blue moon was rising, the first one on Halloween for something like 25 years. Actually, at the same time as Boris Johnson made his announcement on a Saturday evening, which is extremely rare for politicians to make announcements this time of the week. They normally will do it during weekdays, etc. And so I think you do deserve a bit of a pat on the back for getting that right. Now, what I'm going to start by asking you, though, is, you know, what is it that makes it possible? And I don't think you're pretending to have any kind of, you know, kind of psychic abilities or whatever. Do the educated guesswork that's necessary to get something like that right.
Okay, I'll take it back to the start. For a very, very long time, I've been researching the beliefs of what people would call the occult and Freemasons and all different incarnations and manifestations of occult knowledge. The power of numbers, the power of frequencies, the power of certain dates. And I've also studied the modus operandi of the global elite to a really sort of perverse level. And I've found out that they're actually super predictable. So a lot of my best work is actually reversed engineered intuition. So this is how it goes with this prediction. On the 1st of October, which was a full moon, Boris announced what I called the rule of 666. Six people, 6 feet, 2 meters apart for 6 months. And that really struck me. And on the 2nd of October, I learned that there was a very, very rare lunar cycle in October. First full moon on the 1st and the second full moon on the 31st, which was a hunter's harvest blue moon. A blue moon is once every 3 years. A harvest moon is that particular time of the year. A hunter's moon is slightly rarer. But all of those three happening all at once, my research told me the last time it happened was 1955. As soon as I heard that, I instinctively knew in my heart that day, because not only is it that, it's All Hallows Eve, it's Halloween, which is a very, very, that's like Christmas Day for dark occultists. You know, Halloween is not just a children's holiday for bobbing apples. It goes back thousands of years when human sacrifice was openly practiced and all the other stuff like that. So it's a very, very important day for dark occultists. So as soon as I found out about this very rare occurrence, it was no stretch of the imagination that a lockdown was going to be coming for the winter. I just knew in my heart instantly October the 31st would be the day it'd be announced. As it approached the day, and I kept saying it in interviews, including your one, mate, I thought to myself, do you know what though, I've got it wrong, because I've looked at their patterns and they only ever make announcements on Fridays and Mondays for the preceding or following Friday or Monday. And lo and behold, the 31st fell on a Saturday. And I was actually doing a speech in Bournemouth on the same bench where I made the original prediction. And as I was talking about it, I said, you know, well, I saw in the newspaper yesterday, the Friday, that it looks like he's going to announce it. So I was one day out, and in the middle of the speech, someone corrected me and goes, no, they literally just announced it today. And I was like, I don't want to be right, but yeah, there you go. It will be announced. Well, I always said it would be announced on the 31st. With just that extra little twist, an extra little special twist, it is enacted on the 5th of November. These people love dates. Dates, numbers, gematria, it's super important to them, to a level that the uninitiated couldn't possibly understand.
These people, is Boris one of them? Do you think he's aware of all this?
Probably not. Boris is of the baron merchant class, that is an employee or an agent for these people. You know, whether Boris has ever attended a ceremony with any actual occult practices or not, that go past burning a £50 note in front of a homeless person, I doubt it. He takes their money, he does their bidding. I've seen him with his UN Agenda 2030 badge. And stood in front of the Build Back Better. I don't know if anyone else has seen that. There's the sign Build Back Better. You see like Macron in front of it, Boris. You see it in Chinese as well, because I've had it translated into Chinese. And what it is, it relates to the Great Reset. It's the rebuild plan for post-reset world. There's only one, and I keep coming back to it, there's only one world leader that I've seen that has never been pictured in front of this sigil of Build Back Better, and it's Trump. That's the only one I couldn't find a photo of. So next time you see a world leader and they're in front of some sort of like billboard or stand, look at the words behind it. So look for Build Back Better. If it's another language, get out your Google Translate. Very interesting.
These people, though, I mean, it's all very well to talk about, you know, these dark occultists, blah, blah, but they do surely have names and addresses, Lance.
Well, OK, I mean, let's take it to the level of people that we can name. Above the level of prime ministers and presidents, you have your agents and hitmen, men like George Soros and Warren Buffett, who are financial, philanthropic, what was it called? The military, charitable feudalism. You know, these guys are sort of the agents. Whether they are into the actual occult practices or not is debatable. I mean, there are plenty of witnesses that say people like that, presidents, are involved in those things. There's, you know, there's hundreds of testimonies. But above that, then you've got sort of like, you know, in the visible level, you have people like Klaus Schwab. You have obviously members of the unspeakable families, a couple of them begin with R, but at the most fundamental level of understanding, people have to appreciate that they are still employees. They are not the owners of the world. The banking, the Kabbalistic banking priest class, as they have been coined, that, you know, we can allege took hold in the late 1600s and 1666, with the self-anointment of a messianic character called Shabbatai Zevi, or Shabatsky, as he was known. And he actually took Kabbalistic Judaism and inverted it. So sin out of redemption, instead of fasting, feasting, basically turned it into a satanic cult. He had a million followers. And the founders of the Federal Reserve and the Bavarian, what was called the Bavarian Illuminati, the Weishaupts, the Rothschild, they were all Sabbatean Frankists. So it's actually a cult that we're up against. I mean,
you have hinted a great weakness though of this cult, when you're saying, well, actually they're very predictable. You're hinting that they're actually a little bit lacking in imagination.
It's not they're lacking in it, it's they're actually moribund of it, they don't have it. From study, and when I say study, I'm standing on the shoulders of dozens, scores, hundreds of really esteemed researchers, scholars that have been doing this for decades. But it's a general observable theme that they actually work much more like a computer, like a hive mind. There is almost zero actual even ability for individual conscious choice. So the blueprint, the MO, the modus operandi, once it's known, once you have gnosis of it and you understand it, it's so transparent. And I think, and this is what I said in the speech, that's what's really helped me, because I've spent, like, you know, a perverse amount of time studying it, you know, really perverse amount of time. And like I say, when I did the Serco thing, 90% of that was absolute intuition. I wrote down a list of things, like I told you what I thought I was going to find. And that's how I found them, because I knew exactly what to look for. in exactly the right places, the right connections, the right levels of influence in different types of infrastructures, what kind of corporations would need to interact here. It was like it was flying at me. So it's because they always follow the same blueprint, which has been very, very, very successful. They don't have any other ideas. And if you can apply this idea when you look at what's happening in the US, how everything, whatever it is, just instantly gets called a Russian hoax. You can spend $100 million into 30 investigations into all the things you've called Russian hoaxes and not find a single thing. And then something that comes up, a certain laptop that you can barely speak about on the internet without getting banned.
Well, I mean, you're reminding me of some travellers. I mean, when I was squatting in Bristol, chatting to them, and they had done a job during the Tony Blair years for the government, looking into conspiracy theories. Basically, they were just employed for 6 months on this job. And the idea was to collate all these conspiracy theories just to find out what was out there. Now, the implication is that some of these conspiracy theories are basically feeding into these unimaginative people as ideas. So in a way, you know, we are, by being paranoid, it's not just a bad thing to be paranoid, to have these fantasies that the other side may even feed off them, Lance. I wonder if you think that that is itself a paranoid conspiracy.
I can't say that I think that there's any authenticity in that. To try and suggest that the other side would actually be checking out what the conspiracy theory sort of inverted commas community was saying, and then actually getting ideas and influenced by it.
Yeah, I mean, that's saying, I mean, I would say that's feasible, that they're scooping out loads of paranoid ideas from people and then seeing, oh, well, this one might fly. You know, we might actually be feeding the beast by you know, expressing these paranoid thoughts.
What I would say is, I would say there is a symbiotic nature to it through the media and through things like through Hollywood. I mean, so many Hollywood. Have you seen that Hollywood film that's about to come out from Michael Bay? It's called something like A Silent Song, and it's a view of 2023, where the whole world's been under lockdown for 200 weeks, and it's COVID-23, and it is absolutely unbelievable. Basically, you're locked in your house. You've got a temperature sensor which you have to breathe into every day, and if your temperature's too high, it goes beep beep beep, armed guards coming in 6 hours, and you get taken away by riot police. And and it's like, you know, that is for that's telling us, that is literally in your face telling you, here is the plan, here is how it's going to go. And don't think that they don't have, you know, the technology is there to gauge every single type of reaction from that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just chatting to someone in Hong Kong recently, and they're saying, well, they're worried that they'll even have, if they haven't had the vaccine, they won't get the little passport, and they won't even be able to get into their own homes. But yeah. Anyway, so...
I've got a little update about vaccines and credit scores, right? I saw on BBC,
okay, go for it, yeah,
one of my friends last week, since we last spoke. There was a BBC reporter on the ground in Wuhan, and there was a queue of people queuing up for the vaccine that was being administered. And this one woman, really visibly shaken up, really upset. And the BBC reporter went up to her, like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm very scared. I'm very scared about the vaccine, but I must get it because I have 30 extra credit points for my social score. This will allow me many things. And then she went in, got vaccinated, came out, and she was all happy. Yes, now no more COVID. Like, totally different person. Maybe it was the effect on her of having her extra 30 credit points that now allowed her to go and visit her family in another province, or allowed her to get her higher internet speed or her other privileges. But the vaccine was a prerequisite for those 30 points, and it seemed like that 30 points was a very significant upgrade to her social credit score. And that really struck me. I thought, yeah, that's it. There you go. That's all you need to know about how it works.
So we're heading into the winter. Outside the other side of it, maybe we're going to have some sort of great reset. At least that's what certain people are hoping for. Do you think that we should be doing anything to either, number one, be prepared for the increasing waves of propaganda, but also simply to, you know, be prepared for possible economic ructions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to scare anyone, but like everyone keeps saying, I tried to give solutions and it, you know, and in my last speech, I said something like this: if you have disposable income that's either in the bank or in physical cash, you should probably think about exchanging it for something that's physical that you can hold in your hands, which will have value after an economic crash, whether that's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's bricks and mortar, whether it's a vehicle that you can let out or rent someone else that you can make some income from, whether it's a small piece of land to grow some, but, you know, because you have to be prepared that if this reset is what we think it is, and it's enacted by people who are as evil as we think they are, then anything that's on a bank balance could go to zero. So I've been making that preparation. I'd say, like, anyone that doesn't have 5 kilograms of rice, 5 kilograms of pasta, 30 days worth of tinned food and fresh water stored is very unprepared. Anyone that doesn't have a solar power bank and maybe a shortwave radio and actually start collecting, hardly anyone even has analog phones anymore. So people, yeah, you do need to be, at the end of the day, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Because, you know, this US election result is going to go on, I reckon, for at least a week. And I don't even want to make this prediction, but I really hope we don't have like a massive wave of false flag Islamic terrorism, because it's on the cards. They're telling us, we've had beheadings in Europe. A horrible shooting with 20 people, I believe, in Vienna. And the UK is now on the most severe terror alert. And if these people work the way that I think they work after my years of research, that means we are going to do this. Here it is. That's how they work. Are you ready to consent? We're going to do a terrorist attack. Whether that's sending out a real radicalized Muslim or an actor or a crisis actor, whatever it is in any incarnation, or whether there are real cells that are being, you know, this is the thing with false flag terrorism. So you think, oh, it has to be totally fake, it has to be totally real. No. You can still have real radicalized Muslims, and there can still be intelligence assets all in the same mix. It's much more complicated than anybody believes.
I mean, there is all sorts of potential crises, aren't there? And real crises that have already happened. And it's one of the things I found really interesting in all of this is that a lot of the people who were pro-Remain also seem to be pro-lockdown, which may just be a coincidence. But it's just, for some reason, people seem to have kind of hopped on the lockdown bandwagon after being Remainers. But look, you've got the terrorist attacks you've been talking about, the Brexit, we've got the actual exit with possibly no deal at all from the EU just coming up. We've got these lockdowns, an economic crash, and of course the US election. That has actually, rather than being an election, turned into a crisis which could go on for many weeks. Is it feasible that all these are actually connected?
Absolutely. I honestly think that there is nothing happening on the world stage at the moment isn't connected in some way. You know, some people say, oh, the virus was to stop Donald Trump's economy. Well, yes, but not just that. In a way it was, and it was, but it was never just that. No one thing is ever just for one reason. These people work, or I should say this machine works in such a way that it calculates every possibility, yeah? So it's like, okay, why did they go to the Middle East to get the oil? Well, yeah, they went to get the oil, but it wasn't just to do that. It was also to destroy all the Mesopotamian statues. It was also to fulfill the Greater Israel Project. It was also to flood the West with displaced refugees. So there's never, ever one reason, or two or three. It's more like usually five or six. So what we're seeing now is, like, I'll just go straight there. There's an energetic shift happening along the Earth. And it's linked to what some people call climate change. It's the reason that there's a massive exponential increase in seismic activity that's been going on for years, ludicrous increase. Same with hurricanes. It's the reason that the Schumann resonance, if anybody knows what the Schumann resonance is, that the electromagnetic pulse of the Earth is speeding up exponentially, way off the scale, like nothing before. It's the reason that, you know, we're in the between the age of the Mayan calendar and the age of the Kali Yuga within like 8 years. So, like, so thousands of years ago, many different ancient cultures spoke about a time within a couple of a span of a couple of hundred years, which is a second in the scheme of things, around now, where there'd be a huge energetic shift. We've got the Grand Solar Flash coming up on December the 21st. The last time something like that happened was in 1859, called the Carrington event. And it was actually so bad that it set electric lines, telephone lines on fire, and operators were actually burned at the face with the headsets. The electromagnetic pulse was so bad. So there's a lot of things going on that are actually much bigger than a virus or a simulated virus or a fake pandemic or a political overthrow or an election. It's much bigger than that. Much, much bigger.
Is there any way you could recommend, at least while the internet is still working, and it's not impossible that might go down, that we can go to really keep a stride events, or do we just simply have to go on our instincts and hunt information out as we see fit?
What you mean, if the internet was to go down, how would we seek out our information?
Well, I mean, no, I'm just talking about if it does. Where's a good place to go to just get, because obviously you switch on the news. I think most people nowadays, the TV news seems to be for the stupid people. Not really agreeing with it needs to, somewhere else to go. I've got my own places I go, but Lance, I'd be interested to know, where do you think's a good place to go to get a bit of real news?
Well, I mean, I'm still just about on YouTube. All of my favorite channels, which I think are authentically good sources of information, have been taken off YouTube. So I'm just waiting to be taken down. Brand new Tube seems to have been set up specifically for this reason, because you can really easily migrate all of your work from YouTube to Brand new Tube with the touch of a button. So I'm already totally backed up on Brand new Tube. BitChute is good because it's totally uncensored. There's also a lot of really nasty stuff on there as well, because it is totally uncensored. But here's the problem. YouTube is the only one that easily casts to people's TV, because a lot of the smart TVs have got the app in it. So, I get my information from a plethora of sources that's like 20, 30 deep. And now that I've had my social media feeds deleted, which I've been building up all of my sources, all of my favorite journalists, all of my favorite researchers for years, I'm really spending a lot of time trying to find out now, because it's like, the censorship is actually going through the roof, especially because we're around the election. In a nutshell, I would say you really actually just have to go to independent, what I call the new media. It doesn't have to be me, but people who are completely independent, self-funded. If they have a bias that's left or right, they'll be very open about it, and you can appreciate that when you're looking through their filter. But the corporate media now is totally moribund. It's the legacy media. So I truly think you can only trust people like yourself, Tony, who are truly independent, truly without influence from any corporate corporate overlords, and you need to listen to as many of them as you possibly can and then make up your own mind. That's all I can say.
I mean, we've had David Icke deleted from Twitter permanently, apparently, this week as well.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought that I assume that had already happened, because he's already been deleted from Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah. What do you make of him?
Well, David Icke got me started on this after 9/11 happened. I was really searching for answers, because I was like, no way, no way, no way. And I don't know if I told you this the first interview, I went balls deep and I read five of David Icke's really hardcore books back to back. And when I say the hardcore ones, I mean like The Biggest Secret, Children of the Matrix, Tales from the Time Loop. So it was everything, and I was absolutely overwhelmed by it. And then I had to sort of reverse engineer that and go into all of those separate subjects over a couple of decades and look into them. I think David Icke is actually, I will say it, I think David Icke, from all of the things he said, and some of them are crazy, he's authentic. I really do think he's authentic. I sort of say this, I'm playing football on the pitch that David Icke sowed the seeds. And everyone that is talking about this stuff essentially is, because he did sow the pitch. He was the one that was, you know, had the testicular fortitude to quit his BBC job, start from nothing, he's a bit of a Jeremy Clarkson of the alternative world, because he will relay to you every different occult discipline, whether he thinks it's good or bad, and it's sort of up to you to make up your mind. And I think if you look at him like that, I don't know. I know he has a lot of critics. I know he has a lot of critics, but for me, I resonate with him. And he, you know, like I say, I feel like I'm playing football on the pitch he sowed, in a way.
He's an interesting guy. I mean, he said the virus doesn't exist. He's also said that the moon is a hollow metal spaceship, and the famous one of the Queen being a lizard.
Well, when it comes to the lizard stuff, right? He start, you know, David, to give him credit, he has said quite openly, in his turquoise period, as he calls it, he had his spiritual overload. And, you know, a lot of stuff came out. And I can relate to that, because I had a turquoise period, yeah, after I read five of his books. And I was working at an insurance call center. And I resonated with a lot of it, because a lot of voices is true. And I was going around spouting it to everyone. So I had my turquoise moment. When it comes to the lizard stuff, there is a theme that goes throughout history of a link between royal lineages and reptilian themes. It's a big theme in the East, and it's a big theme in the West as well. So whether it's a metaphor, a very strong metaphor for the nature of these elites at their very core, who I believe they are not fully human, genetically the same as us, at their very core. I believe that myself, through extensive research. Whether that bit of DNA is from another, is from a race from another dimension or part of the galaxy thousands of years ago that's reptilian, who knows? Whether it's the case that psychics, because this is the story that when psychics look at these people that are apparently possessed by evil entities, they see a reptilian, they see this reptile entity around them. So, and David has actually said that in his books, that maybe when they're, because he's never seen anyone shapeshift, but what he's saying is maybe what these people that have seen the shapeshifting is what they're actually doing is they're having a semi-lucid psychic experience. And I've had many semi-lucid psychic experiences. So I've spent a lot of time investigating Amazonian shamanism, and I've practiced it. So I know about meeting entities on the other side, and I know that it's not mumbo jumbo. So when I listen to that stuff, it can be interpreted in many different ways. Does David think the Queen is literally a shape-shifting lizard? I don't think he does. And I think he's updated his thinking now, or the way he explains it, if you ask him. And I don't think they're a shape-shifting lizard. Is it a very good metaphor to describe their nature? For sure, at the least.
Okay, finally, got anything to add? You think things, some, you know, anything you haven't talked about, maybe bits and pieces you've come across since we last spoke? Because it sounds to me as if we might have to speak to you again in a month or so, because you made another prediction this time. Anything to add?
Since we last spoke, this is what I've observed. Tens of thousands of more professional people in the medical industry have either signed petitions, spoke out on camera, formed coalitions, or had conferences and said that something very bogus is going on, and varying degrees of their distrust in the narrative. I'm seeing a huge explosion of
protest all over the world every weekend. My work is exploding. People want to hear an alternative explanation to what's going on at an exponential rate. It's increasing every day. A tidal wave has started and it's not going to stop. So I feel very positive right now. I feel very positive.
Lance, can you just round up by explaining how people can follow you?
Right now, while I'm still available on YouTube, it's the word double and then LMC. Double LMC is my channel on YouTube. It's backed up on brand new YouTube. The show is Rise Above. All of the episodes are on there. They're meant for sharing, to de-indoctrinate people out of the COVID-1984 operation. It's a 6-step program. Start with episode 1. Instagram, double_L_MC. Rise Above.
Lance Murdoch, thanks very much for joining us.
Tony, always a pleasure, mate. Anytime.